The Lord is gracious and compassionate. So says the psalmist in Psalm 111 and verse number 4. Actually, God says that about himself in Exodus 34. It seems like sometimes when we talk to people about Jesus, and particularly when we want to study with them about the gospel, that oftentimes we will spend our energy in talking about things very important, like our need to believe in him and to turn away from sin, or the importance of repentance and the necessity of baptism and faithful Christian living. But sometimes when we are talking about Jesus, we need to slow down a bit and introduce people to the Christ we read about in the Gospels. Who was he? Well, there are many characteristics which might describe him. In Acts chapter 10, at the house of Cornelius, Peter spoke to him about Jesus and how he went about doing good and that sort of thing. If you were to talk to somebody about Jesus and introduce him to them, there are many different directions you might be able to go. But one, I think, is this. The Lord was and is compassionate. Compassion is one of the characteristics that would describe our Lord. When we talk about compassion, we might need to spend a little bit of time talking about what it is. The word translated compassion in the Bible is a word that has to do with our insides. It has to do with being moved inwardly, moved with compassion, and yearning after compassion. And that's from W.E. Vine in his word study book about these ideas. So it is not uncommon to read in the King James Version where we talk about the bowels of mercy. And there the descriptive idea of your insides, that when you feel compassion, it's something that you feel deeply. It might be for someone in a particular need or situation. It could be something that brings tears to your eyes. It's a very strong emotion, this idea of compassion. Webster defines it as sorrow or pity that is aroused by the suffering or misfortune of others. And we were, you know, thumbing through the channel one time a number of weeks ago, and there was a commercial about these starving children someplace on the other side of the world somewhere. It moves you. And then we turned the channel, and there was a commercial with almost the same verbiage and the same length and emphases, and it was on the poor little puppy dogs that were not having enough to eat. And so you have to go through the channels, and you say, this is tough. This is hard to deal with. But compassion is an important idea. And the reason why it's important, and you might agree with me on this, is that there is a human tendency toward becoming callous about the needs of others. Particularly if you encounter a need and then you don't do anything about it. The next time you encounter it, you are even less likely to do something about it until you become somewhat hard-hearted toward those around you. But I think the point that we want to make is this. We must show the compassion of Christ to the world. And in a very real way, they may never experience it or learn about it if they don't see it living in us. And so to this end, we want to talk about the compassion of Christ. Now, you might find this to be something that you could take notes on and use in the study with someone that you know. Or you might want to go back and reread some of the scriptures that we're talking about in order to reinforce these ideas in your own mind. So to begin with, let's talk about the compassion of Christ. And to mention this as of first importance, and that is that we're expected to follow Jesus in every way. We are imitators of Christ. We're Christians. We're his disciples. And so in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says that we are to be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. We're following Jesus. Who was Jesus? He was one who had the compassion to offer his life for us. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul is really combating a selfish, conceited attitude. And he points the people to Jesus. And he says, have this attitude, this mind in you, which also was in Christ. And then in 1 Peter chapter number chapter number 2 and verse 21, Peter's writing to a group of Christians who were suffering for the sake of the will of God. And he says to them, you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. In other words, follow the example of Christ in how you suffer for the will of God. So we are to imitate his example. And Christ's example includes a compassionate mindset toward others. His mission was about compassion. You might even begin in Romans chapter number 5 and verse 8, or verse 6 rather, where it says, while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for us. When you talk about being moved to compassion, almost every situation that you can think of involves a person, maybe an animal, maybe a situation in which there are people who are helpless, who need a response from us. And it was while we were spiritually helpless, while we were enemies of God, that he died for us. That is true compassion. The golden text of the Bible in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why did Jesus die for the ungodly? Why did the Father in heaven send his only begotten Son into this world? It has to do with compassion. The compassion of Christ. Christ who said in John 14, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And so if we can look in the life of Christ, who is God in the flesh, look at Christ, who is the exact representation of his Father, as Hebrews tells us, and we see in Jesus a compassion that is beyond our ability to comprehend, then we know that our Father in heaven, our Creator, is a compassionate and loving Father. Let's take a look then at Christ. Take a look at how he demonstrated compassion in his life. In the first place, Jesus demonstrated compassion to the heavy heart. We're referred to Luke chapter 7. And you remember in that example from his life, how Jesus, along with his disciples, along with a rather large crowd, came to the gates of the city of Nain, and they encountered a funeral procession. And there was a widow who had then lost her son. And of that widow, it says in Luke 7:13, that when the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her and said to her, do not weep. I wondered in my mind as I read that earlier, I wondered if maybe Jesus even had thoughts of his own mother, who may have been a widow, who was in short time going to lose her son through a death on a cross. But in any case, Jesus felt compassion for those who have a heavy heart, and he still does today. In the second place, Jesus felt compassion toward the blind. It's another occasion. This is found in Matthew chapter 20. They were leaving the city of Jericho, and on their way, there were two blind men who were begging. And as they were going along, these blind men found out that it was Jesus, whom they had likely heard about. And they began crying out, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David, verse number 30. And they were crying out to such an extent that they were annoying the crowd, perhaps also the disciples, who were trying to get them to pipe down. Maybe they wanted to listen to Jesus. Maybe they didn't want to have that reminder that here are some people who need help, and we haven't been helping them. But whatever it was, Jesus then turned to them and asked what it is that they wanted. And they said, we want to be able to see. We want to have our eyes open. And Jesus then the Bible says in verse 34, was moved with compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately they regained sight and began following him. Jesus felt compassion for those who could not see. In the third place, we know that Jesus felt compassion for those who were afflicted. In the very opening chapter of the Gospel of Mark, there was a man who was a leper, stricken with the dreaded disease of leprosy, who came to Jesus and fell down before him and said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Verse 40. The next verse says that Jesus was moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched this leper, and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." And the leprosy left this man, and Jesus sent him to the priest to do the thing that you do according to the law of Moses, to be cleansed, pronounced cleansed in a ceremonial way under the law of Moses. So Jesus had compassion on this afflicted man. But more than that, Jesus had compassion for physical needs of the multitudes. In Matthew chapter 15, as Jesus was teaching the people, he called his disciples to him and he said to them, "I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days and they have nothing to eat. And I don't want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the journey." Jesus felt compassion because they were hungry. When's the last time that you went 3 days listening to a sermon, or a series of sermons, I guess? They've been with Jesus 3 days, and they were without food. And so on that occasion, Jesus fed 4,000 men, besides the women and the children, with just 7 loaves and a few small fish. He felt compassion for their physical needs. Jesus also demonstrated compassion toward the wayward, the spiritually lost in his life. And we see this from a number of teachings of his. The parable of the prodigal son, for example. Here is this young man who requires of his father an early inheritance. And he takes that inheritance and he goes away into a faraway country and wastes it in sinful living, as you know. But then things changed and he found himself to be in need, and very penitently and humbly came back to his father. And verse 20 says that while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran to him and embraced him and kissed him. That's hard not to see the image of our Heavenly Father in that father of the prodigal son. Jesus loves the wayward child and longs to show compassion. There's an interesting statement made in that passage in Matthew 23. When people think of Matthew 23, they think of the woes and the judgments and the harsh words that Jesus offered to the religious leaders of that day. But there's also in that chapter a very moving event as Jesus is looking over the city of Jerusalem. In verse 37, he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who were sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were unwilling." That is yet a demonstration of his compassion in the form of remorse. How long had Jesus, along with the Father in heaven, wanted Jerusalem and the inhabitants therein to repent and to be right with him, but they were unwilling. And even now, as Jesus is getting ready for his death, they are still impenitent. But he is compassionate in pleading with them and warning them about their spiritual waywardness. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus saw multitudes of people. And it says in verse 36 that he felt compassion for them, as the text says, because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. And then his compassion led him to teach them his word and to encourage the disciples, and to ask the disciples to pray that workers might be sent forth into his harvest. The compassion of Christ, everywhere noticed in the Gospels, as manifested not only physically but also spiritually. And then finally, we want to mention this, that the compassion of Christ was demonstrated in spite of his own suffering, in spite of his own sorrow, his own grief. Even on the cross, he demonstrated compassion toward that thief and toward those who were around the cross. But I'm thinking particularly here of a time when John the Baptist, his cousin, had died. And John was the one who had baptized Jesus. And Jesus knew that some of his own disciples had formerly been John's disciples. And so he brought the disciples away to be by themselves for a bit. Very important in a time of grief such as that. And so they've got in a boat and they went out into the middle of the Sea of Galilee and were crossing over to the other side. But the multitudes followed along the seashore and actually got there before he arrived. And Jesus sees them on the other side. It's a large crowd. And he felt compassion for them and healed the sick. And the parallel account in Mark 6:34 says that he felt compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. That compassionate teaching of our Lord was followed by the feeding of the 5,000 men, not including the women and children on that occasion. So Jesus demonstrates compassion over and over again. And what a wonderful study that would be. If you're going to talk to somebody about the Lord, to say, listen, there's nobody as compassionate as Christ. Let's just take a look at some of these passages here and see how he feels about our needs. But then I want to consider this, the second point, and that is that we are to be compassionate. Why? We've already stated, because we're to imitate Jesus in every way. Our goal in life is to be just like him in word, thought, and deed. We may never reach that point, but that's the direction that we want to go. So compassion is something that is required of Christ's disciple. It's not an optional matter, but it's actually commanded. So if I were to say, well, you know, I know that Jesus was compassionate, and I know that I should be compassionate, but I'm just not a compassionate kind of person. Doesn't fly. Colossians 3 and verse 2, for example, says to put on a heart of compassion. That's imperative. That is a command. Put on a heart of compassion. Then he adds kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also you should you, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Whole list of things here, a laundry list of attributes we're to have, and right at the top of that list is compassion. Put it on. Now, the opposite of compassion is a closed heart. So a compassionate person is somebody with an open heart. But a closed heart is described by John in 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, when he says, whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Closing your heart, that's the opposite of demonstrating compassion. We need compassion. On the day of judgment, you know, one of the things that we'll be judged about has to do with compassion. There in Matthew 25, beginning in verse 34, Jesus will say, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. And I was in prison, and you came to me. He's not saying that's the only thing about which we'll be judged, but that certainly is that compassionate heart that Jesus displayed for us to follow. Now, the compassion of Christ actually is our motive for being compassionate. We love because he did what? He first loved us. And we might say we are compassionate or should be compassionate because of the compassion that we have received. Well, how do we know that? Remember the story about the unmerciful slave there in Matthew chapter 18. What a good study that would make. We learn about this particular fellow who owed the king, I think it was 10,000 talents. That's a measurement of weight, a considerable amount of silver or whatever the precious metal was. And there was no way in this world, if you do the math, and I've tried and I've come up with different answers different times, depending on the source, but it is an amount that is astronomical. There's no way he would ever be able to pay that in 1,000 lifetimes. But when he came before the king, he fell down and he said, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you." And the Bible says there that the king, or the lord of that slave, felt compassion and released him and forgave him of the debt. Matthew 18. Read it. It's good stuff to be reading. And then, you know, what the slave did after he had been forgiven, after he'd been shown this compassion, he went out and found a fellow slave who owed him 100 denarii. That's about 100 days' wages. Certainly a payable debt. But grabbed hold of him, "Pay what you owe." And the man did exactly what this man had done. He fell on his knees and he begged for forgiveness. He said, "Give me some time, I will repay it." He says, "No, not going to happen." And he threw him into prison until he should pay back the last bit of money that he owed. And you know, the slaves, fellow slaves of that man, reported this back to the king or the lord. And he grabbed this guy that he had been forgiven and called him on the carpet about it and said, "I forgave you all that debt, and then you went out and did this?" Instead of being moved by compassion, now the Bible says he was moved with anger, and he turned this man over to the torturers until all his debt should be paid. And then Jesus says, "My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if you do not forgive your brother from the heart." So what was our excuse for holding a grudge? What is our excuse for not forgiving a brother or sister in Christ? Forgiveness is an act of compassion. And we forgive others because we have been forgiven. And if we don't forgive others, it's a demonstration of our lack of appreciation for what Christ has done. Compassion moves us to action. Think about the Good Samaritan. Great story. Wonderful teaching for people to sit down and read. There in Luke chapter 10, the question is, who is my neighbor? And the story that Jesus told just seems as likely as anything you could imagine. Here's a man who fell among robbers. You can just picture that on one of these risky roads, maybe the road to Jericho or something like that. And he fell among robbers, left for dead. And people passed by, religious people even, but it was a Samaritan who had compassion. And the Samaritan not only felt compassion, he came up to the man and bandaged him, and he poured oil and wine on him to cleanse the wounds. He put him on his own beast, brought him to an inn to take care of him there. And when he left, he paid the innkeeper some money to take care of him, saying that when I return, if there's any more that's required, I will repay it as well. He proved to be a neighbor. He demonstrated compassion, just like Jesus had done on previous occasions. In Matthew 9:36, when he had compassion for the multitudes and encouraged the disciples and asked that they pray for more workers. Just like in Mark chapter number 6, when he saw the large crowd and felt compassion for them and began to teach them many things. Compassion motivates action. And that's the key point. We need for that to happen in our lives as well. Philippians 2, verse 1. Spent a lot of time in Philippians today, but Philippians 2, verse 1 is one of those poetic verses. And it begins each statement with the word "if." It says, "If there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion." He goes on with that. But that word "if" is third-class conditional, which indicates, or rather first-class conditional, indicating that this is a foregone conclusion. "If" could be translated "since." There is, as we say, consolation of love. There is encouragement. There is fellowship. And there is affection and compassion. then notice the result. If there is compassion, he says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit and intent on one purpose. The point we make here is this. Compassion not only motivates us to action, but compassion is the key to unity in the body of Christ, because we care for each other and we're moved to help one another and to encourage each other. That promotes unity in the church. So take some inventory. Think about it. How's your compassion working today? How is it exhibited toward the needy, toward those who are lost, toward your family, to those who are closest to you? We need to be compassionate people. And really, to tell you the truth, in order to put ourselves in a position to get his compassion, we need to be compassionate ourselves. Does Jesus care? That's one of the songs that is familiar to me and probably familiar to you. And the refrain says, oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. Sometimes the only exposure that people get to the compassion of Christ is what they see in his people. Maybe they've not gone to the scriptures like we have tonight, have not taken the time to really look at his life and see how amazingly compassionate he was from the time that he left heaven's glory and became flesh to the time he died on the cross. And as even today, he ever lives to make intercession for us. The invitation of Jesus, come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That has been called, frequently called, the Great Invitation. And it's all founded upon this simple, amazing, profound compassion of Christ, who is a reflection of his Father in heaven. This is the God that we serve. This is the God who loves us and cares for us and sent his Son to die for us. It might be tonight that you have need to think about these things and act upon these things and reciprocate in kind to the Father in heaven and to your family, the church, and to your friends and neighbors as well. If we can help you in any way, let us know how we might do that while we stand.